Fourth and final hour here on this Thursday afternoon. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's had a good day to this point. Let's bring in our man, Elliot Friedman. From Sportsnet, 31 Thoughts. You should check all that out. Does a tremendous job of covering the league for those entities. He now joins us. Elliot, how you doing?
I'm not doing bad, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're doing great. We're not doing as good as Roman Josi, but it was nice to see him finally get rewarded. It's hard to believe with the slew of defensemen that have come through here, and a lot of them will be future Hall of Famers, that no Norris Trophy had ever been awarded to a Predators defenseman until now.
And I know that was a real sore spot for you and your organization. And finally, you can look at it and say that you got the respect. And I know that it means an awful lot to you guys, no doubt about it. And he deserved it. Like, nobody's arguing it. I think that, you know, he won it pretty convincingly. And I think that most people agreed that he was a very deserving winner. And I didn't hear a lot of bitching or complaining about it.
I said this week, and I want to see if you agree or disagree. I said that, you know, for all the banging that we do on social media about Twitter and how Twitter's the devil, there is a lot of good stuff from social media. There's a lot of good stuff from Twitter. And I feel like this is one of them where social media actually helped, you know, point out things that I think players, maybe when Shea Weber got hosed many, many years ago, when social media, or at least Twitter, things like that were not as prevalent as they are today, that maybe if that information was out there, that it could have maybe swayed some votes his way whenever you looked and done a little bit deeper dive. Then in the past, I feel like it's been more of a popularity contest or, you know, a beauty contest. Who's the best player on the best team? And it seemed like that narrative changed this year, and I think social media played a part in it. Do you agree or disagree?
I don't know if I would specifically say social media play a part of it, but the one thing I do completely agree with you about is that we just have a greater ability to see more things than we used to. You know, first of all, more games are available. You know, more people can watch Roman Josi now than could have watched him in the past. You know, 10, 15 years ago, how many times would we see the Predators? And, you know, that could hurt. Now I can watch all your games if I want to. And I think that is a huge thing. But I think also there is a willingness to look at different things. There's a better understanding about different ways to measure players. And I do think a lot of that comes over social media. And I think what happens is you have all these Predators fans and then opponents saying, you know, holy cow, this guy's having an unbelievable year. And then all of a sudden, more people start to look at it. So I think what it does is it creates awareness. You know, and if somebody writes an article, it's easy to go find it and say, okay, here's my Roman Josi case for the Norris. And then people are going to say, all right, here's this case made. Now I'm going to look at it. And I think that has absolutely changed. I would completely agree on that particular way.
What did you make of all the awards that were handed out? Did you agree with everything?
Well, I mean, I voted for Draisaitl. He won, so I agree with that. I voted for Josi. He won, so I agree with that. I voted for Hughes, and he lost, so that was totally stupid.
No, it was close. It was very close.
Yeah, I was close. He was second. You know, every year it seems like it gets harder, guys. Like, it really does. I have to say, you know, I don't know if I would say Josi was slam dunk to win the Norris, but for me, it was an easier decision than some of the awards. Like, I thought, like, my Calder decision between Hughes and McCarr was harder than the Norris. I thought my Hart decision, where I had a group of four guys who I thought were separate from everyone else, Draisaitl, McDavid, Panarin, and McKinnon, was really hard, much harder than the Norris. So, like, I don't really, like, and besides, everybody has their own votes. Like, even votes I disagree with, as long as you can give me a decent reason for why you did it, I'm not going to have a huge problem with it. I thought this year was really hard this year. I thought the Norris one was probably an easier vote for me than a lot of the other ones I had to vote on. I thought Roman was by the end of the year made it pretty clear he was the guy.
Interesting. Patrick Hornquist, we're very familiar with him. He has been dealt from Pittsburgh to Florida. Obviously, the Panthers are trying to make a noise. You know, they go out and they get Bobrovsky last offseason. They go out and they hire Coach Q. I mean, they're trying to make some noise down in South Florida, and now they've made this trade. And I don't know what they're going to lose. Obviously, they're probably going to lose some players like Hoffman and others. Where do you think their direction is right now, Elliot?
Well, I think that right now the problem is that they're trying to make that trade, but that trade, at least as we stand at this moment, has been falling apart. And I've been told it's more likely than not it won't happen.
Oh, wow.
You just never know. So,
is this because of the no-trade clause?
There's two issues I've been told. So yesterday, I think Kevin Weeks reported accurately when he said that the trade was going down. But I think it got out too early. I think there were a couple of hurdles that they weren't 100% sure about yet. One of them was the no trade. I don't think that they knew for sure that Hornquist was going to waive. And the second is Hornquist's contract is not completely insurable for some injuries. And Florida's GM, Bill Zito, he was in Columbus when they had a similar issue, and it cost them financially. They signed a player named Nathan Horton to a 7-year contract.
Oh, boy.
And he could only play one, and he had a back injury, and they couldn't insure that contract for that injury. So they had to pay the cash before they were able to trade the contract. So I think they were a bit worried about it. I had one person tell me that they were going to go ahead with the deal anyway, although it was something that was a big concern to them as they were going through it. But between those two issues and the fact it got out early, it scuttled the deal for the time being, and it may not happen.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet.ca, Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, but I should say that Florida definitely is trying to change their culture. There's no question about that.
Yeah, are they close, by the way, in your opinion?
No. I think they were really disappointed the way they played this year in the playoffs against the Islanders in that series. And I just feel that they think that their situation is too easy. There's not enough pressure on them, and it's too comfortable a place to play, and they're going to try to change that.
Talking to Elliot Friedman. Elliot, we were kicking around some speculation here with Adam Vingan. Is there any chance that the Oilers buy out James Neal's contract?
I think there's a chance, but I don't necessarily think it's the preferred road. See, I think Edmonton thinks that like, they have a tough cap situation for another year, and then they think it kind of eases up a bit. And I just think they want to create themselves some more flexibility. So I think they prefer not to do that because, you know, I think they look at their road kind of easing, and why would you gum it up again with a buyout? Like, he's only in, what, year two? So it's, I think it would be, what, like a six-year buyout, right? And so I'm not.
Is Neil's contract that long?
Yeah, he signed like a 5-year deal.
Yeah, okay, so he's finishing the second year. Like he was Calgary, then traded to Edmonton. This is the end of the second year of that deal?
He's in the second year, so it would be like 6 years. So I don't necessarily think they really want to do that. I think they would prefer it's always easier to solve your problem that way. I know they've discussed it. All I've been told is that they would prefer not to go that route.
Gary Bettman, I guess, was on a radio program you guys are affiliated with earlier. It's talking about next season some. We're all trying to get a lens into where that stands right now. I didn't get a chance to hear what he said, but what can you share about, because I think in the last couple of weeks when we've talked to you about it, there's definitely plan A, plan B, plan C based on what it looks like, but do you think they still could start in early December, or do you think it could be a little later than that?
No, I think it's more likely going to be January. You know, the commissioner has always said that December is more of a placeholder. It's not a guarantee. And I think that's the way he looks at it right now. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, was on CNN the other day, and he said more likely January. And because they share a lot of buildings and they have a lot of the same issues, indoor, how many fans can you really have in there because of COVID, I think they're very familiar with each other's plans. So I'm thinking it's more likely January for the NHL. And the one thing I have told you guys, and I still believe this, is the owners want a path towards attendance. And on the weekend, the commissioner said there's the possibility of starting with nobody as long as you know you can get the fans in the building. And I think that's what the owners want. They want a path to attendance. So I think they'll wait a little bit longer if that helps them get it.
And yet January, you could still get 82 in, you think?
I don't know about 82. Like, the commissioner is steadfast publicly on saying 82. I think some of that might be just, you know, like if you, like, I think ideally they'd like to play 82. I just don't know how you're going to do it. He also said he's not so sure he wants to do summer hockey again. There's the possibility of the Olympics next year. I just don't, I'd be surprised. I would. I think some of it is financial. Like, if you say you're not going to play 82 until you're 100% sure, are you going to have to give money back for tickets and things like that? I'm sure you've also got to deal with the players because, you know, are you prorating salaries and things like that? I think it's easier at this point in time to say 82 until you know for sure that it isn't.
We're talking to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet. So what can you tell us? We saw Steven Stamkos come back last night for the Lightning, but continues to fight through injury. What can you tell us the latest with him?
Well, I think a lot of us would be surprised to see him playing again, right?
Right.
So you're saying it's a Kirk Gibson, come back, make a big play, and then you're done for the rest of the series.
You know what? I think that's a great comparison, actually. Yeah, like, it sure looks like that, doesn't it? I think he really wanted to give it a go. Like, I heard he wanted to play in game two. He didn't. They held him back for a day. And, I mean, it was so weird how it turned last night, right? Like, he charged onto the ice. He was so excited. They were so excited to have him. He scores. He gets that great moment. And then, like, a minute or two later, you're watching him on the bench, and he's clearly in pain. Like, it was just, the whole thing was so very weird, how quickly it all changed. But I think that's a great comparison because, you know, looking at him last night, like, you don't want to put him in the lineup if you don't think he's going to be able to finish the game. You got your lift out of him, and you got a great lift out of him. But I think you've got to be really concerned about putting him back in at this point in time. I'd be surprised, but I know he wanted to give it a go, and I was really happy for him. I mean, you know, that's a guy who won an Olympic gold medal, but he broke his leg before he could play. And they still gave him a gold medal because he was part of the team. And just think of how brutal it would be after that to knowing that you can't help your team in a Stanley Cup final, right? Now, you know, if they win the cup, he's going to be able to say, I competed for it. I was a part of it. And I think that's huge for him.
So the Lightning win 5-2. To take the lead in the series. Khudobin was pulled, but vows to be ready for game four. Any type of, if you're supporting the Stars, any type of worry about his confidence being a little shaky after being pulled?
No, I don't think you worry about his confidence. He's a really confident guy. If I'm worried about anything with him, it's just that I wonder if he's fatigued.
Right.
You know, he's 34 years old. He's never had this kind of a workload before. This is totally new for him. And one of the things I'm kind of wondering is it possible here that Ben Bishop is healthy enough to play one of these next two games? Like, this is back-to-back now. Game four Friday, game five Saturday. And, like, Khudobin looked fatigued, and that would be my only concern. I'm not worried about his confidence. I'm not worried about his ability. I'm just worried about is if he's really in a position he can give you a full 100%. And that's why I wonder if there's any chance. Like, I'm not sure they're going to put Jake Ottinger in there. But if they've got the opportunity to use Bishop, I just wonder if he gets a shot.
Before we let you go, I just want to get your thoughts. I mean, the draft is approaching. as the Stanley Cup final is close to wrapping up, you know, how much business do you think gets taken care of from a, you know, team standpoint, whether it's trades or what have you, in the days in between the Cup final leading up to the draft? What do you think that's all going to be like?
Well, the buyout window opens tomorrow, right?
Right.
So I think you're going to see business. I think, you know, teams have been kind of, you know, saying we might do this, we might do that when it comes to buyouts or not qualifying guys who have arbitration rights, making them free agents. But that's all been talk. Now we're going to see how much of it's talk and how much of it's real. I think there's teams telling guys there's not a lot of money. Some of you are going to get paid, but many of you won't. And, you know, they're saying, like, do you want to just take the certainty as opposed to risk whatever could happen out there? And now we're going to find out who's going to do that and who's going to bet. And we're going to start finding out as soon as tomorrow. I do think there's going to be a lot of news.
What do you think is going to happen with Pietrangelo?
I think the Blues and him are going to take one more run at getting signed. But I don't know if St. Louis is going to bend on. They don't believe in signing bonuses. And he wants his contract to have buyout protection later in the deal. Like, I got to tell you this, everybody's really pessimistic about it, guys. They don't think it's going to happen, but I think they're going to take one more run at it. One more.
Well, we'll wait and see. Elliot, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend.
You
great
too.
Stuff.
Elliot Friedman, sportsnet.ca, and it's about to get very, very busy in the National Hockey League. We'll have more coming up next here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Nashville SC will take on Houston Dynamo this Saturday, 2:30 p.m. Catch all the action on ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 2:15. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, another fast-moving show here today on this overcast Thursday. What has it been doing on the east side, on the west side? It's been overcast and kind of raining off and on here.
A very light rain on the east side, and according to what I'm looking at for radar, it should taper off, should be all right. I'm especially watching because we have a soccer game this afternoon, a little USN at Harpeth Hall.
Ooh.
They have a turf field over there, so it should be fine, even if there is a little rain, but I think it'll be okay. There's supposed to be less rain as we go forward here, even though the clouds will stay around.
All right.
That's my amateur weatherman report.
It is 1:22 p.m. It's taken us this long to get to this, but I am actually not on the west side. I have been at the studio today, and it's drizzly.
Okay. I never know where the heck you are.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I like to keep you on your toes.
Willie, we were supposed to scrimmage not Mahoney's Knights, but the younger version of Knights yesterday, but rain kind of got in the way. I mean, the uncertainty of whether it would rain or not. And I understood them coming. They were coming to our turf. They were coming to Smyrna. So we kind of bagged it at the last minute because the radar looked bad. But we actually had practice, no problems last night. Started rain about the final 5 minutes of practice. I mean, just a light rain. Drizzle.
Well, I hope you get a chance to play them. They're good. I can tell you they're very good. So that would be a good test for you guys.
Well, they're in the tournament this weekend with us. So
you might see them. Yeah. Might see them.
Yeah. Where are they out of? I was being asked that last night, and I mean, I know they're out of Nashville, but what area?
No specific area.
Is it over in Creve Hall? Is that right? Or am I making that up?
No, there's no central location.
Okay.
The facility is right near the Titans facility. That's where their indoor facility is. But in terms of fields and where they practice, they have a practice field in Bellevue for the older kids. But
so just wherever
the younger kids are, wherever they go. Yeah, okay. It's wherever they can get a field. They use a lot of the metro fields from time to time. But that is one thing. They don't have like a complex or anything where they have home fields per se.
Okay.
And so they have kids that play from really all around our listening area that come in and play for them. The older you go, the bigger the radius would be.
Yep.
From where the players go from, the younger tends to be a little more clustered close to where whoever's coaching.
Interesting. But, okay. So, yeah, we didn't get to, unfortunately, scrimmage last night, but maybe another time. I was reading that Dennis Dodd, did you guys see this from CBS Sports, has put out that Pac-12 football will consider a return to play this fall. And I guess today they're trying to figure things out, and maybe there's going to be news today that the, right now the early reports are that they would plan on starting their season either the end of October or the beginning of November.
And play how many games?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. I guess as many as they can get in is the short answer.
The Big 10 is coming back, what, a week prior to that at the end of October, and they're going to play eight?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I feel like they got to play at least eight to, you know, to have any type of conversation. But, I mean, the Big 10 figured this out, what, it's been a week? Why is the Pac-12 still just like hum da dum da dum dee dum da dum da dum da dum?
Well, we also see reports out there that the MAC is
I think they're voting today.
In the fall. It's like to play like six or seven games. It's like what?
I feel bad. I think as we go forward here, it's getting more unrealistic that you can really play after if you wanted to start in January. It's like, if you can start in January, why not just try to get that same amount in the fall if you can?
Let me just tell you what happened. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 said, hey, we're going streaking. We're going to the through the quads to the gymnasium. And they found out they were the only Will Ferrell. Nobody else followed.
Frank the Tank.
were Frank the Tank. Okay, they went streaking through the quads to the gymnasium, and they looked behind them, and there was a car following them, and that was it. And nobody was following them. And then they went, oh, nobody came.
They're bad.
Oh, now what do we do? Okay. So plan B. So they tried to, like, say, hey, this is going to be cool. Follow us. We're going to go to the spring. And nobody followed. Or at least none of the big boys followed.
What you're telling me is the SEC was Snoop. Decided not to follow along.
Yep. Snoop just kept playing in the backyard. And now all of a sudden they're like,
y'all love this movie.
Nah, let's go back. Okay, that was a bad idea. Let's leave the gym. Nobody's here, so let's go back to the party.
You're saying his wife's car pulled up to the side of him? Hey, honey.
Think KFC still open?
Heck, what are you doing? The best is the look on their faces when they realize who it is.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to have to go watch this again. It's been so long since I've seen it, but it's a classic.
But, right? I mean, is that not a fair analogy? I mean, that's what happened. They're just like, hey, this is the cool kids are going to spring, and they got there, and they turned around, and nobody was with them. And they're like, oh. And now they're sitting there watching every week them play football, and they're like, maybe we should go back. We should go back to plan A. Let's go back to the fall.
You guys want to play? I know nothing's changed,
but hey, let's revisit the fall. It's like, guys, we're almost done with September. We're about ready to head into October, and you're still trying to figure out what you're going to do. Really?
And you're going to get left behind. Well, you've been left behind. You're not going to get left behind. You have been left behind.
A lot of this has been embarrassingly bad. Like the leadership and the decision making, it's been really embarrassing. So this will just reiterate again, Willie. Whenever you say you don't trust them, no, I don't. No, that's why, because I don't. Just because people have big titles doesn't mean I have to trust them. No, they have botched this badly. I mean, badly.
Well, I have to say this is it was hard to know exactly how it was all going to unfold. There have been plenty of games that have been postponed, but I think they obviously thought there would be a lot. It would be a lot harder to execute the games,
and they were wrong. They were wrong.
Yeah, some people are wrong. Some people, but they were safe. They were wrong on the safe side. They just didn't realize it could be done. I think it's been pretty much proven now you can play if you're willing to soldier through the hurdles.
Which is what we're seeing. I mean, we're seeing, you know, postponements, but we're not seeing like full on, you know, the teams are like, ah, we're done for the year. They're just taking it as it comes.
Yeah, nobody's packing up their ball and going home.
Yeah.
Right.
I think I saw Notre Dame, they rescheduled
Wake Forest.
Wake Forest, so they rescheduled
December.
That.
Yeah, December 12th, I think.
But now you have South Florida, who may have gotten, it's hard to know, they don't know, but now they played Notre Dame, they have cases, right? So their next game is out. So did they get the cases when they played Notre Dame? That's the other kind of thing that we have not seen so far, right, that there was an outbreak between two teams playing.
Yep.
Most of what has happened has been away from the field, right? That's what I'm hearing anyway.
There is good news that we haven't mentioned yet as we sit here 3.5 hours into the show. There is good news for the city of Nashville when it comes to a phase starting at the 1st of October. Willie, you want to pass that along?
Well, the mayor made it official this morning. He said that, on October the 1st that we're going to go to phase 3 or back to phase 3. Remember, we were in phase 3 for a brief time, had to go back to phase 2. So taking the next step back forward. I think it's still 50% for bars and restaurants, but there's now an increase in some of the other gatherings. I think you can get up to 500 in some. I don't have all the details in front of me, but if you can refer back to phase 3, we're getting back to that. So stepping forward.
And also Metro Nashville schools playing sports again. And,
yeah, I saw that Hume Fogg, for example, is playing a soccer game this afternoon against Chase McCabe's FRA squad.
Panthers.
On the girls' side. The Panthers, yeah, I blanked on that. But so that's a good sign. So we're pretty much everybody now back
but
on the field.
They will not have fans, though, correct?
I think some have said no fans. Harpeth Hall, where we're going today, is a 2-fan-per-player limit. So there is a limitation. Some don't have limits, but it's all about spacing. You know, I think it's all you're trying to be careful. Make sure that if you're at the game, be smart. You know, don't sit in a student section, and you know, if as long as everybody's spread apart, it's a little easier in soccer than it is in football. Football, I haven't been paying close attention. I'm hoping that as each passing week goes by, all of the host teams have their system down of how they're doing it, how they're policing it, staying safe. I mean, we're still going, right? I know there have been some postponements, and they continue to. I don't know if it's going to stop anytime soon, but by and large, most of the games are being played, right? And I don't know. This is what we don't know with the no testing. What is the ripple effect? You know, is the caseload staying where it needs to be? I haven't heard anything that any studies that have come out saying, okay, in this community where we've played 3 football games, our caseload has gone up because of some super spreader at the field. That would be the nightmare, right? And I haven't heard anything like that. These would be the things you would worry about if you're a health expert. But I think so far so good.
Yeah, everything I've heard or seen, it's been so far so good. I'm glad that we're going to see Metro schools getting it going, and so that's exciting. I know that a lot of people have been anxious about that, and whether it's soccer or football, going to be fun to see them back. So hopefully everybody can, you know, do the right thing and stay safe and be good to go and get this season in.
I'll say the same thing like a broken record. Keep your guard up. Keep doing the right things with the mask, the distancing, the washing the hands, and we'll be able to do more stuff. Right? Because we do more stuff doesn't mean you let your guard down. That's just the reminder. This is a recording.
Or your mask down. Don't let your guard or your mask
down. Don't let your guard down. Don't let your mask down. Don't let the soap down. I don't know what to do. Yeah.
What else has been good so far? And we haven't touched on this today either. We've talked about a lot the last 2 days. We've gotten a lot of feedback. Right? Either people calling in or texting us. A lot of feedback or tweeting at us. But from everybody that I've talked to and everything before the show this morning and from stuff I've been seeing on Twitter, it does look like finally day three was there seems to be a smooth day on Titans ticket buying. Today,
glad it took me 3 days to figure that out.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, I know what you're saying sarcastically, but at least we're not having the same theme again 3 days later, right? So today seemed to be, from everything I can tell, and like I said, I talked to people before the show, everything was very smooth today, and I've been reading stuff on Twitter that people were not having any issues and that they were able to secure their tickets. Now, the one thing that was passed along is this morning, everybody that I talked to, when they tried to get or when they got on, the Pittsburgh game was sold out. So they never even got a chance for the Steelers game. For all the people who got pushed to Thursday, to today, they didn't even have a chance at the Steelers game. That was the one game that was sold out.
Yeah.
And it was basically a smattering for the rest of the games. But they were able to get tickets, but the Steelers game was sold out. So they never even had a chance. It took them straight to the Buffalo game.
Well, I mean, I'm glad to hear that things were...
What will the makeup of the fans look like in the Steelers game? That's the next question. How many Steeler fans, how many Titans fans? But this is good news. I'm glad that the system's working better. That's the first thing that should happen. The next thing is, what about the secondary market? The people that get their hands on those tickets, what do they do with them?
Willie, somebody that tweeted during our show that we know, Josh Carey, said, in the end, via another PSL holder and saint of a human being, I was able to get tickets for all seven remaining games at face value. Of course, like I said, he's saying seven because I know that the Steelers game was not an option. They had two PSL seats, but with social distancing blocks, I had to buy four seats, and I got first day priority somehow. Or they got first day priority somehow. They had two PSL. So in the end, another PSL. Okay. So they were talking. Okay. This was a conversation they were talking about. That was the one sticking point is, and we don't know how the system was set up. And like I said, I know it's tricky. You're talking about a small amount of people to get into that first game. I don't know how they chose. I really don't. Because we heard, you know, Chris, the caller, call in and say, been a PSL holder for two plus decades and he got pushed all the way to today, and yet somebody that he knows that sits by him or that he knows has had season tickets for 4 years and they already got all their tickets. So I don't know how that, so it does seem like the one thing that was pretty flawed, and I don't know how you make it right. I don't know how you do it, but you know, there were a lot of people that had day one season ticket holders. They got pushed to today and they never even had a shot at the Steelers game.
And that's tied in with my question is, the people that were given the priority, are those the loyal fans that you would think they would be? The ones that have gone back the furthest or whatever they did? Because those are the ones that most likely are going to hold on to the tickets and go to the game. And then you have the next level of people that, yeah, I've had the tickets for a long time, but I'm a seller. I like to wheel and deal. Those are the ones that you worry will turn around and sell to the highest bidder, which more than likely would be a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
I still want to know a little bit more on how they came up with the order.
Yeah. But at least it looks like, finally, day three, Ticketmaster had their stuff together because it seemed like everybody was able to get in there and navigate, and there wasn't error codes, and it didn't take 4 hours and seemed pretty flawless. At least that's the reports I'm getting for day three. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And I've been going there for years, and there's a lot of you listening right now that have been going there for years because they've been around in this market since 2007, helping a lot of you improve your quality of life. And I know there's a lot of you that want that like I do, especially as we all get older. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge over there, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to help you. And boy, they do so many things under one roof, whether it's hormone replacement therapy. Maybe you've been feeling off or sluggish or haven't had any oomph to you, just haven't felt yourself. Get in there and talk to them about that. They've got things that can help you tremendously. get back to feeling like your old self. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management, something that's critical here in 2020. We get it. Everybody's been out of a routine, and a lot of you have struggled. Heck, I've struggled getting back into that routine. And maybe you've got some unwanted pounds right now. Get over there and talk to them. They've got programs and people that can put you and get you headed in the right direction. If you need to make an appointment or schedule a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or if you want to learn everything you can imagine about those folks, go to their website, coolspringsmd.com. American Cancer Society invites you to a courtside seat with Tennessee's Division I basketball coaches as they talk about basketball and take on cancer at the Coaches versus Cancer virtual tip-off today at 6 p.m. Registration is free at the Coaches versus Cancer TN.com. We'll see you today. So that's at 6 p.m. tonight. We should also mention Nashville SC with a big win last night.
Yes, sir.
1-0.
1-0, that is correct. Getting the terminology down.
Were you working the game?
I was, and to add more terminology, Joe Willis with his fifth clean sheet on the year. So the shutout.
The win over DC United.
Yes. It was a fun game because this was a team that Nashville SC, I mean, this is a game they should have won, and they did. DC United seemed very undisciplined, and in fact had a guy, Russell Canhouse, got shown the red card, so he was thrown out. So they were playing a man down for the second half because this happened in stoppage time at the end of the first half. And what was crazy about it is we're all sitting there. I'm watching the game, and John, Kelly, and Wes are doing the game, and we missed what had happened was he was shown a second yellow card, so that's a red. We missed the first yellow card. Everybody did. The official stat keepers didn't even get it because the sprinklers had come on at Nissan Stadium.
Are you serious?
Yeah, the sprinklers came on.
During the game?
How did that happen?
I don't know. They popped up on one end of the field during the game, and they were setting up for, I believe it was a Nashville SC goal kick. And something had happened during the setup where this guy was shown a yellow card, and everybody in the building completely missed it. So he gets shown the second one at the end of the first half, and of course is kicked out of the game with the red. So it was wild, but Nashville SC comes away with the win, and they continue this unbeaten streak at Nissan Stadium because they've had a good run as of late at home. So Daniel Rios with the goal and his first career MLS goal for Rios. So,
and what's the significance of him besides it being his first MLS goal?
He was the first signing.
Yeah, he was the first guy they signed. Yep. First MLS signing.
Yep. So he was, I guess Leguan was a draft pick. But, yeah, he was the first MLS signing and gets rewarded last night with the goal. Got to pay attention and see what happens with Don Baggi. He did leave the game. Came up a little lame, so the 21st minute, and so they had to change up the lineup. Alan Wynn went in his place, so hopefully Don Baggi, it's nothing too bad. It did kind of appear to be maybe in the hamstring area, which is those are pesky. So you just gotta hope that he's all right.
So if I'm looking at this right, Jace, they have played one less game than everybody else in the league.
Yes.
And they are right on the bubble right now of a playoff chase, correct? So what's next?
Like, what do you – I mean, they're – last I –
What's the next – when's the next game?
I just told you.
Yeah, Saturday. Saturday is the next game.
And who are they playing again?
If you hadn't asked me, I would have told you.
Houston Dynamo.
Houston, thank you.
Houston.
Yep. So every game – they're in the important time of trying to get points. And for those of you wondering, 3 points for a win. So it's not like hockey where it's 3 points for a win, 1 point for a draw. And, you know, they've obviously had a pretty good point streak, a winning streak at Nissan Stadium. They had a tough game against Columbus last Saturday on the road. Columbus is very, very
good.
That's
a really good team.
Yeah, so 2-0 the score on that one. But with wins over Atlanta last night against D.C., they had a draw against Inter-Miami before that. I mean, they gotta get it going, take care of business. It's a nationally televised game, so we'll have a little bit different lineup on radio with Tony Husband and Jamie Watson on the call with us, but it's crunch time as they release the rest of the schedule for Nashville SC trying to make the playoffs in their first year.
It looks like they've gotten better. You know, I don't know if all the additions they've made since the start have helped, but it seems like with every passing week they get more and more competitive. This Houston team, I'm looking at their numbers, they're not any great shakes. It's kind of a middle of the road team, so this would look like another opportunity to grab some points here.
Yeah, it would. And, I mean, you bring up some of those additions. I mean, they haven't even gotten everybody yet. I mean, they're still, you know, with everything that you have to go through with quarantines and stuff like that, I mean, they're still adding to this roster. And so you hope that as this team plays better and they get some of these guys in, it's gonna help them even further down the stretch. So it's clearly been a process, and it's not something that I pretend to be an expert on. Of okay, who are these guys, and you know how are they gonna help? But you know, Mike Jacobs and his staff, and Yonder Cadiz is the guy that everybody's waiting on. Which he's another designated player that they acquired a couple weeks ago. You know, once they get him, he's a striker. Put him in front of the net. Same kind of theory as hockey, of having that net front presence. You know, he can make a big difference for them, but you know, the question remains of when they're actually going to get him.
Did I see last night Taylor Washington made his MLS debut?
I believe it was his first his first start.
His first start?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's been in some, but I believe it was his first start.
Okay, so he's been coming off. Okay, so, yeah. I think you're right. I think it was his first MLS start.
Yeah, he's played in 7 games for SC this year. So he's a good role player. He's somebody that Gary Smith seems to like, and it's cool to see him get his first start last night. But, yeah, I know they've brought him in, you know, more second half to play some defense.
Do we think Vic Beasley plays on Sunday? What are the odds right now?
Yes.
You think yes?
I'm going to say 80% that he plays.
80%?
Ooh.
Yes. Ooh. Now, how well he plays, that's a whole other thing, how effective. But I think he is going to suit up and play. That is my sense right now.
Hmm.
That is strong.
Well, he's practicing. I mean, he's in the practice.
He's,
like, what,
he's
if
been
you're going to have him practice and he's physically able, then why wouldn't you put him in the game?
Yeah, I'm going to say
$9 million.
I'm going to say he plays. I said it last week and I was wrong. I'm going to say he plays. I don't know if I'm willing to go 80%, but he's practiced the last 2 days. That's obviously a good sign.
Yeah, I thought he would play too last week, so I don't know. It's hard to – I don't know. I need to see a sheet, an active sheet, and see his name on there before I would go 80%. I wouldn't even go 100% if I saw a sheet. That's what it would take to get me to 80% with him. I tend to agree with you, though. It does seem like all signs are pointing that way, but I just kind of feel like he has earned the category, I'll believe it when I see it. That's kind of where I am with him. I'll believe it when I see it. And let's be honest, they need him in there. They do.
But we are seeing him on the practice field. Now, I guess let's check in again tomorrow, because tomorrow's the all-important day, right? If he completes all of the practices this week, including tomorrow, then I don't see any reason why he's not in there.
Yeah, I mean,
I would agree with that.
I feel the same way.
Now, if there's some sort of setback or something, then that's another thing. But it's time. They've clearly been holding all moves at his position, waiting for him. You know, they have 3 outside linebackers, you know, 3 edge guys that they've been running through and arguably asking a lot of, like playing too much, right?
Yeah, and I mean,
there's a desperate need at his spot. It's not like they have 4 other guys at that position and he's got to beat somebody out. They're waiting for him to get in there.
And I think having him in there, too, you know, when we brought up with Floyd about Clowney and just how close he is, I think bringing Beasley in, if you get, you know, 20, 25 snaps out of Beasley and you can give a little extra break to Clowney, you're going to get more. I think you're going to get more out of Clowney, that he's not going to be as tired. The thing that I've seen out of Clowney in two games in a very small sample size is when they start the game, those first couple of defensive series, I mean, he is going after it. I mean, he needs to look at it as it's a marathon and not a sprint. He's sprinting.
You know who he's wearing himself out. It's not a great example, but if you watched his career, you kind of knew, you know, how he was going to come out of the gates. He kind of looks like the boxing version of Mike Tyson. Like the first quarter, he's just like, you have to be able to take his punches, right? You know, you got to take whatever clown he's coming. But as the game wears on, it's like Tyson, right? It was like the third, fourth round. It's like you get past that fourth round, it's like, okay.
Punches himself
out. I've taken all of his blows. I'm still standing. And then things changed for Mike Tyson, right? It was but so many never could get out of those early rounds. So many. And then once they started doing that, and then he became like a – I kind of feel like Clowney is at that right now where it's like the first – he comes out, guns ablaze. I mean, you're right. He's very active. He's very visible. And as the game goes along, it's like he starts to disappear.
Well, and that's why having some backup could be of use to him.
You've got that, and
sure.
You've got to get him in the football shape, the six-week theory of Steve Watterson that Floyd Reese relayed to us. And he's got to get there without the injury, the nagging injuries, which have been a problem for Clowney at times, catching up to him, right? You got to get to the point where your body feels good, you're in shape, you've got that stamina, but you're not bogged down by injuries. If he gets there, then we're talking. That's what you're looking for. And then hopefully Beasley can be a role player. Just give him something. Maybe Roberson gets back in there. Then you can get a rotation going that – could get a consistent pass rush. That's what they're looking for, because let's just take this weekend. You're facing the Vikings, who they brought in Gary Kubiak to run the zone blocking scheme that he's run for decades. That's been really good, right? And you've got a really good running back. So that's the first thing you got to do, is not let Dalvin Cook run all over you. That's not going to be easy. But then you got to be able to get to Kirk Cousins and not let him pick you apart, because you have some weak. You have some young guys in that secondary who are going to have to do it again. We know Adoree Jackson is unavailable. We know Malcolm Butler is banged up. He's probably going to – I would think he's still going to try to play through it. But you got Chris Jackson. You got, you know, the Ty Smiths. You've got Christian Fulton trying to find his way. You've got some talent there. But the corners, you know, you're a little thin there right now.
Yeah, and that's
Courtney Cronin, who covers the Vikings, by the way, speaking of the defense, their defense has yet again taken another blow.
Yeah, they lost another linebacker.
Yeah, Troy Dye. Now, he was a rookie fourth-round pick, but they've lost another linebacker to a foot injury, and they've just put him on IR. Yeah. So the injuries just continue to mount on that Vikings defense.
Mm. They are just beat up on that side.
They are. Can the Titans take advantage of that? It is closing time for this Thursday. We're looking forward to tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun with You Just Made the List. We'll have Pick 6. We'll have Lee Sterling's picks. A lot
Richard
of
Deitch going to join
Deitch.
Us.
Richard Deitch. We haven't talked to him in a while. We'll get into some ratings and some stuff with him. So we want you back with us. So have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. You can't stay.